somewhere in time, coast to coast. This is the news, according to me. Yes, this is the late night edition, the very late. It's 1 in the morning, Eastern time, and I am awake. So I decided to do a show. This is supposed to be the late night, the evening edition of Tuesday night show. So there you go. Yeah, there you have it. This is the late night edition. Just some things that were on my mind. I've been busy, but I've also been taking some notes and things I'm seeing, studying, looking at, venturing into. You're gonna get a crazy night. This is gonna be a crazy show because you never know what you're gonna get with me at 1 o'clock in the morning. That's pretty much the thing there. And I know some of you are subscribed to this particular podcast, and I appreciate that. And it's you can always call in. I did have a caller the other day, and or I think it was yesterday morning. I was actually on a flight or getting ready for going on a flight, and apparently at that time, and somebody called, but they didn't leave a message. And I don't like it when that happens. So if you do call, just feel free to leave a message. If you're trying to get on the show, and I understand that, I'll try to treat it as if it's a live broadcast. But I'll probably take your call and we'll record it. And if I take your call, it'll be only if I'm on doing the show at the time. If I happen to get a phone call, so that hasn't happened yet. We haven't had a live caller yet. Out of all the people that listen to this thing, because I'm so random on when I do the show. So it's kind of a little bit difficult. Once I get back to the studio, the main studio, hopefully that'll start to pan out a little bit more as life becomes a little bit more normal. Whatever normal is, there's some controversy about what normal is. There's never been a normal. What normal seems like normal always changes for most people. So if you feel like things aren't normal, that's normal. Just get on with it. Because it's the one thing they say that's constantly, the only thing that's constant is change. And always a lot of change in our lives. Things are always changing. Sometimes by choice and sometimes by someone else's choice. And sometimes by no choice. It's just things happen. And the more resilient you can be, the better off you are. If you want to talk about resilience, I'll give you a contact information for my wife. That's what she did her thesis on for her doctorate, was on resilience. So she knows all about that, among other things. She knows a lot of things. She's learning some things about me. After 31 years, 32, 31 years, yeah, I think. We're on our 32nd year, and I think she's stopped learning now. I think she's starting to ask questions. Like, why? She wants to know why now, not so much how, it's why. Yeah, if that makes any sense. So, some interesting things happening again in news stuff. And one of the things that I think is worth talking about, at least discussing, maybe, the disgusting things. There's just a whole bunch of different headlines I'll just touch on a little bit. But the main thing I want to talk about, I'm going to hit on right away. It's this budget issue. I was thinking, this is just one of my thoughts, and I wanted to kind of pore over this a little bit. It seems as if Congress, especially those on the left, now, the Republicans try to put the brakes on, they try to warn people. Rand Paul is good at this, seems like. They seem to be concerned about spending, how much we spend, and as a nation. And it just seems as if there is no end, no amount that is great enough to the spending that the left wants to do. And one has to ask themselves, I mean, is this, do they know something we don't know? Is this a concerted effort, or is what going on? We are quickly approaching $30 trillion in debt, and no one seems to care. I brought this up with a friend of mine who's a leftist. He thinks he's a centrist. He thinks he hates both parties. He actually is right in line. If you hate both parties, then you just hate the country, and you're probably in line with the left. And he's pretty much an extreme leftist. I brought up, well, this is several years ago. I think I mentioned this point before, but you'd have to go back into the archives of the show. And for those of you who are just tuning in, the national debt was at a point where if you divided the national debt by 320 million people, every man, woman, and child in this country, supposedly, that we know of. I think there's several hundred million people living here that apparently are running around with voting ballots that we don't know about. If you took that number, if you took the number of, I think this was back when the debt was around $20 trillion. The amount of money that every single human being had in debt on their head, I think was a little over $87,000 at the time. I have not even picked up my calculator to know if that's anywhere close. But I know that at the time, whatever the number was, it was right in that ballpark range of what it was. And I'm pretty sure those numbers are pretty close. I stop and think about that. And when I mentioned this to my friend, I said, right now, every man, woman, and child in this country has an $87,000 debt over their head. In other words, that's what the debt is, and somehow we got to pay it. And if you divide it up equally between all of us, it's $87,000. He said, well, that's about right. Yeah, he looked at somebody and goes, well, that seems about right because, you know, by the amount of taxes that I'll pay in my lifetime, that seems about right. Well, first of all, no, you're going to pay way more of the tax than that in your lifetime, first of all. Secondly, that has nothing to do with taxes. We're talking just the debt, just to get back to zero. You'll still have to pay taxes. That had nothing to do with that. That's an ongoing obligation. So sometimes it just doesn't soak into people what's going on here. As consumers, they are robbing the private sector. The public sector basically produces nothing that creates wealth. Nothing. When was the last time you bought a product that was made by the USA, not in the USA? It doesn't happen. We have some services that are done. If you want to call the Postal Service, at one time it was actually operating profitably, just for a brief moment there. I think for like 6 months. It operated profitably. And I can't remember exactly what was going on there, why that happened, or why it was expanding and doing all kinds of things, and it was actually kind of moving forward. It was, of course, then FedEx and UPS in the private sector have always been able to outperform what the Postal Service can do. Now, the Postal Service is required to cover large portions of the country and provide certain shipping for all kinds of different packages, and it has a much greater challenge in many ways than what the private sector does. The private sector can decide, they can pick and choose what they want to do. They can charge premiums for certain things that the Postal Service just basically can't do. So the big thing that's looming over their heads is the pensions. You know, they've promised pensions. That's part of the deal. They got to pay it. not saying it's good or bad. That it's just poor planning on their part, the way they didn't have any foresight in doing that. Now they got all these obligations that are not, they don't have any reciprocation. You're paying for something that you're not getting. It was borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, kind of thing. You're paying somebody, you're promising someone something later to keep them on and give them a benefit that you don't have to pay them now, but you got to pay later. But now all of a sudden you're operating. But then, and of course, some bureaucrat got in there and probably robbed the budget and did something else with the money, misappropriated it, whatever happened. Whatever happened, happened, and now the money's not there. But the point is, where is this money coming from? And why do they just keep running up this debt? Is there an intentional thing going on here? It almost seems as if there is. And they're either intentional about this or they are just completely brainless about it. And I cannot believe they are actually, as long as people have been in Congress, that they have not had this thought. I was just thinking today, it would be so interesting to have, to be a fly on the wall in some of the conversations that take place behind the scenes. You know, you look at who Nancy Pelosi picked to oversee this commission that's looking into, or whatever it is they're calling it, the guy who's looking in over this, the Capitol incident that happened on January 6th. I mean, he was saying things that would have disqualified him as a juror, let alone a judge or an inspector. I mean, he's saying that the Capitol Police were complicit in this thing. It's ridiculous, some of the things he said. And yet he's the guy she chose. And you know, what was the conversation that went on there when she told whoever it was that was in charge of doing that to do that? There had to be more than just her and him. Hey, go do this. There had to be more people involved in that conversation. She's been there too long, and she's just corrupt with power. And it's sad to see somebody in that position who can't see beyond themselves and their own importance. And that's where she's at. But they just keep spending money. And are they intentionally doing this to collapse the U.S. dollar? That's one of the conspiracy theories that's out there, is that they some of these people on the left and the politicians, they want to see the globalists, the big government people want to see the U.S. dollar collapse, because that way they can bring in a new currency, they can bring in a new era. That'll be the next crisis, probably. It's going to be the next financial crisis. It's going to be the U.S. dollar. It's going to be teetering. Because it's almost like they want to destroy the economy and run up the debt and just pay people, give people money, promise them things, and just spend like crazy people. I don't understand it. I really don't. It just seems insane to me. And I guess what boils down to it is, I'd like to see these people, how they manage their own families. How do you manage your own household, Nancy? Are you running up credit card debt, just spending way beyond your means? We are at a point now, and I just today, as of today, we have just reached a point where the debt, the interest on the debt, is at the 100% of our GDP. In other words, we can't produce enough. We can only produce enough to pay the interest on the debt right now. This is where a bad economy will get us underwater really quick, and it will go down. It's a slope that will not get any better. The rug will be pulled out from under us, and the country will be in. And what happens if the country goes bankrupt, supposing that the word bankrupt? Or is there something they're not telling us, that debt doesn't matter for the nation because they can just print their own money and they can just do whatever they want, which they can. They can monetize the debt. But that means if you're holding on to $100 today and they monetize the debt, your $100 is going to be worth about $5. So if you were going to buy a tank of gas, you better plan on spending about $500 for it. That's about the gist of that. $400, whatever. Rampant inflation overnight. I mean, it's going to be wheelbarrows full of dollar bills to do anything, to buy groceries. And of course, it's all electronic, so it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. They can just push a few keystrokes. Oh, there's your money. We call it currency. It's currency. It's not based on anything, which is that's the problem. I'm surprised we've lasted this long, frankly, with just a fiat currency the way we have it. There's just a few things that are tied to that dollar that pin it to a certain value, which is good. But we're hanging on by a thread with that. The price of oil is based in U.S. dollars, and it's on most of the world trade. So it's they're trying to unpin that, and many Russia and China and some other countries have made strides to do that. This is where the Saudis have kind of leverage on us. Still, even though we were a exporter of energy, we're not anymore. We're not going to be very, very long. Overnight. So it concerns me. This is one of my major concerns, I guess, right now with regard to, what is the end game here? Where are they taking us with this rampant spending? I mean, it's going up exponentially. The higher it goes, the faster it goes up. And now we're spending trillions again. And there's not going to be an end to this. I mean, within the first 2 months of the Biden administration, less than 2 months in the Biden administration, and we are looking at, I think the total budgetary spending right now at this point, with the $1.9 trillion and the other spending that's been proposed, is over $4 trillion. That's where we're coming up to the $30 trillion mark. And it's how is that going to be paid for? Now you might say, well, big business out there, big business is going to, they're going to, they tax, big businesses pay a lot more taxes and that kind of thing. How do you think big businesses make their money? They make it from consumer goods, consumer services at least. So the consumer is paying for this stuff. Big business takes a profit in the middle of all that. And then they hire lobby groups to talk to politicians to get their way, to grease the wheels so they can keep the little machine running for the politicians, because the politicians only care about themselves. I guarantee you, Nancy Pelosi does not have $500,000 in credit card debt. Maybe she does. Maybe she is that stupid. I don't have a dollar in credit card debt. And I intend to keep it that way. If I managed my family, my home, the way Nancy Pelosi manages the purse strings of the house, I'd be bankrupt. I'd have been bankrupt 10 times over. I just don't understand the irresponsibility there. It just blows my mind. It is the 10,000-pound elephant in the room. I don't know how heavy elephants get, but I'm assuming they can be 10,000 pounds. At least this one is. If they don't get that heavy, this one is. Which is kind of unusual, I guess. So it's a problem. We have a problem, and it's got to be addressed at some point. And it's Of course, right now everybody wants their, you know, and the more entitlements they have, the more people want their entitlements. The government's going to pay for everything. I'm going to work on my little 8-hour day job, doing whatever, pushing buttons, doing some kind of unskilled labor. Just working 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, or 50 hours a week, punching a clock, playing video games on my time off. And I'm doing a job that can be replaced by a robot. Not doing anything to improve that. And I just want the government to take care of me. And my kids. Pay for my school. Pay for their school. That'll give them a job working where I'm working. Where they can be replaced by a robot. We become chattel. If look up the word if you don't know what it means. We just become a part of their cog in their wheel. It's just expendable people. Just they're here for to serve them. They want to be on the top of the piggy pile. So that's a real positive note, isn't it? So those of you who are having trouble sleeping, let me put you at ease. You got about $120,000 worth of debt on your head that you didn't know about. Okay, so now I'm going to get that. Since I have that off my chest, let me talk about one other thing that's going on. What is up with the border thing? Why can't we not have a secure border on the South? Or the North, for that matter? What is the problem with a secure border? Why do they push back against this? Much like, why do they push back against voter registration issues? What's the purpose here? Why do you want to be overrun? Is it just for the votes? Is it just to stay in power? Is it that much fun in Congress? Are they that passionate about what they're doing? That's another way of looking at it. Are they so passionate about their love for this country that they have to stay in power to continue to serve it? So they got to bring all these people in. They got to. This bill. And why is everybody talking about election reform right now, if there weren't any problems with our last election? And why are they pushing back and saying it's voter disenfranchisement, it's gerrymandering, and all these other things, and ballot harvesting isn't that's a term that the right came up with, that these people on the right came up with, that ballot harvesting is just voter suppression, because this is setting people free to vote. Now, if you saw what was going on with what ballot harvesting and the definition of it and what's going on, you'd be appalled what they're doing there. Unbelievable stuff. Unbelievable. But I guess at the end of the day, I'm saying, what's the bottom line here? What's the end game? Where are we headed, and where are we going to land in the midst of all this? What kind of a crash landing is this going to be? Because it's not something that's making much sense. We don't have a 10-year plan here, or a 5-year plan. And I wonder sometimes if they even realize, if they are so what we've seen over the last 4 years is they can become so blind with rage for a particular individual that they really have no sense whatsoever. They're reacting. There's a difference between, I've always found it kind of fascinating that there's a big difference between reacting and responding. And I know that the two are very similar. However, they have a very different core motivation. When a deer runs out in front of you and you jerk your wheel on your car, now, theoretically, you're driving down the road. If you're sitting there parked in the car and a deer runs out in front of you, you probably shouldn't jerk the wheel. That's probably a weird reaction. But if you're driving down the road at 70 miles an hour and you see a deer coming across the out of the woods there, and right at the last minute, you know, kind of thing, just darting out in front of you, and you jerk the wheel to try to miss the deer. Just kind of just natural reaction, just kind of do whatever. That's a reaction. If you see the deer and you realize this could get, you know, you got enough time to think about it, you can respond. Now, they always say that aim for the tail of the deer. Actually, aim for the tail of the deer, because wherever he is, he won't be for very long. He's going to move one way or the other, and he's probably going to go in the direction he's pointed, probably. Now, he might turn around, in which case, if you think you're going to go, if he does turn around, he'll turn around so fast and run that you probably, where his tail was, is still going to be gone. However, sometimes they slip and fall down when they try to turn around like that, so then you're going to run over him. But you're better off running over him if he's falling down than standing up. Trust me on that one. Now, if you never see the deer, and you just hit him, that's also a very interesting thing. That happened to me. I was driving along about 70 miles an hour, 65, 70. Never saw the deer. It was middle of the night. It was probably 3 o'clock in the morning, 4:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Never saw the deer. He apparently was at an angle where he was just lined up with the sill on my window, and I couldn't see him. All I knew was, bang, everything changed in the car. My hood was pushed up in front of me. I couldn't really see over the top of the hood. And I thought maybe the engine had exploded. Major, you know, debris or something I hit on the road, or the transmission had completely folded up. I didn't know what happened. I couldn't figure out what happened. I assumed I hit something, but it just didn't make sense at all. I was afraid that maybe I hit somebody. I just didn't see him. It was dark out. I don't know. So I stopped, pulled over the side. Guy in a pickup truck behind me pulled up and said, "Yep, you hit a deer. It's back there, a little ways. Great big deer." The police officer that came then later on, my car was disabled. He showed up later. He saw the deer and he said, "That's the biggest one he'd seen this year." It hit the front of the car, did a lot of damage, but the car did exactly what it was supposed to. I drive Volvos, by the way. And the deer went over the top of the car, didn't do any damage other than the front of the car and the hood. The hood absorbed most of the impact and kicked the deer up over the top of the car, probably went flying at least 10 feet in the air, I'd assume. And rest of the car was fine. And I was fine. Windshield wasn't even cracked. So, that being said, that's the difference between reaction, response, and doing nothing. And it's fine if you do nothing if you're prepared for it. Driving the proper car and the car was designed for it. We're not in a car that's designed for this kind of a crash, for this financial thing going on. And I don't know that there's any way around it. I mean, you can buy precious metal, you can do all this stuff. I have some. I'm not crazy about that stuff. Bitcoin. What's this now? This new Doge thing, whatever it is. How do you pronounce it? Doge coin or whatever. Doge coin, Doggy coin, Doge coin. Dogecoin? I don't know. It's all Greek to me. So that being said, let me know your thoughts. on that. Call in, text in. Let me know what you think. Send me an email. If you can find that email address, I don't have one. So, well, I do, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. Because I don't know what you're going to do with it. There's a lot of nefarious people out there. I'll come up with an email address at some point. People can email the show. But in the meantime, you can just text in. 574-742-6748. It'll be great. Interesting stuff, though. Christopher Wray has been testifying. I'm sure most of you, if that have been paying any attention at all, have heard this. Christopher Wray needs to go. Now, he won't under this administration. He's their man. How he was put in the position he's in is, I'm sure that President Trump did not put him in that position because he knew him. He put him in that position because some clown around him, somebody gave some advice to somebody, somebody was in the deep state, was working very closely to the president. And his advisors, because the advice he got on Christopher Wray was just as bad as Bill Barr. So Christopher Wray testified, I think it was yesterday actually, he testified that there's no evidence that there were any Antifa or fake Trump supporters at the event that broke into the Capitol on January 6th. This is a complete, absolute lie. This is another one of those things where we see what we're seeing, and you're telling me something else. Don't believe my lying eyes is what you're telling me. We all know that John Sullivan was one of the people who entered the Capitol. Earlier that day, he was talking about going in and yanking President Trump out of the White House before the 20th. We're going to go over there and we're going to pull Trump out of the White House today. Now, this kind of the Capitol building and the White House are two different things, but that's what he was talking about. So this guy can say all kinds of inflammatory things. He's an anarchist. He has been known to be at Antifa rallies. So has the guy with the horns, by the way. And I'm talking about the guy who was wearing the weird outfit, face painted crazy thing. Your typical Trump supporter. And we're supposed to believe that these people who are known to be anti-Trump, that somehow they're not fake Trump supporters? How does that work? And you're sitting there testifying before Congress that domestic terrorism is the greatest threat that our country faces. And I've just told you about $30 trillion in debt, and domestic terrorism is the greatest threat we have to face. This is the setup, folks. This is the narrative that they're putting forth to label certain individuals who have a certain political ideology or a religious creed that they're going to determine need to be removed from society. And that's where we're headed. See, folks, this is not it's not just a battle of ideas. This is a spiritual battle. There is an enemy that wants to enslave us all. And that enemy is very much alive and well and has always, you know, been around longer than we have. As far as me, I've only been on the earth, you know, for, how old am I now, 142, something like that. Maybe a little less than that. I can't remember. I just can't remember. At my age, I can't remember how old I am anymore. But, you know, for us to think that we're somehow smarter or that this hasn't happened before, that world leaders or, you know, the leading group of leaders, the oligarchy, the monarchy, whatever it is out there, has not tried this before. What makes you think they're not going to try it again here in this country? I'm not saying they're going to prevail. I'm just saying they're going to try it. And right now, they've got their noose around our necks, and they know it. The election legislation that's being put forth right now would register 16 and 17 year olds to vote for a reason. They're not saying they would be given the right to vote. They're saying they would register them to vote. However, that is also implied in this bill. It also would allow any ballots that come in up to 10 days after the election, as long as they're postmarked, they can be counted. It extends early voting. It allows for more mail-in voting without identification. I saw a couple of congressmen actually brought it up today. They actually mentioned how this federalizes the election system, takes power away from the states to perform their job. And it's exactly what they're doing. I actually mentioned that in this morning's show, which came out this afternoon, yesterday now, because it's, 1:30, almost 2 o'clock in the morning now. So, once again, we have a tyrannical takeover of centralized power in D.C., which is, you know, just what we all want. Ridiculous. Couple other things in the news I'll talk about right now. One is the governor of Texas has removed all restrictions on COVID issues. No mask mandate. Now businesses can still do that if they choose to. That's up to them. But basically, all businesses can be open. 100%. No more restrictions. They're done. Good for them. That's the way it should be. I guarantee you, they're probably going to see a little bit of a spike in some areas, and then it's going to go away very quickly. It's going to become a moot point. Of course, they're going to have like 500,000 people probably visit there this weekend just because they want to just take the mask off and walk around, be human again. I guess Mitt Romney fell down. I don't know if this is a harbinger or not. He fell down and he got a big black eye. And you know what they say about old people when they fall down? They're never really the same. But he apparently fell down, was unconscious, I guess, for a while. I don't know if he knocked himself out falling down, which I think is what happened, or if he actually passed out and then fell down. So I'm not sure exactly what the reason for the fall was, other than he's... Yeah. Governor Whitmer from Chicago. Yeah, might as well be. From Michigan. She's in a little bit of hot water right now. There was apparently a payoff to somebody who left a position and it was supposed to be kept confidential. I think it was to the tune of $150,000 of taxpayer money. And I don't know exactly what all the details are there, but I've caught glimpses of it. I want to wait till I really find out some of the details before I talk more about it. But apparently she's caught in this process, and I'm sure she's going to weasel her. She has been very good at weaseling her way out of things. We'll see what happens with her when she tries to weasel out of that. But So that's the stuff that's going on. A few other things that are in the news. Amazon has been slapped with a federal lawsuit alleging racial and gender discrimination. I'll just read some notes here today from top headline stuff. Microsoft says hackers tied to communist China targeted groups via server software. So, yeah. Dr. Seuss gets canceled. His own company will stop book sales because he's apparently racist. A crash involving a bus. This was a big deal down at the border. A crash involving a bus and semi kills at least 15 people in California. Lots of interesting stuff. That's about all I'm going to say about now. But it's interesting, folks. Hey, have a good night. God bless. Get some sleep. Good night, everybody.